It's a blessing and honor to be here at Worth Baptist again. I love your church. I love your heritage. And, of course, a longtime friend of my beloved brother Raymond Barber. I talked to him about a week or so ago. They were just getting ready to make their trip to reunion. And I'm glad they're back home. Mrs. Barber, as many of you know, had a fall, and she's not feeling well. So I hope you'll pray for her. And then enjoyed Brother Weaver this morning. Always enjoy hearing him teach the word and give the word. Good to see him and Miss Carolyn. And Brother Earl Sides. Brother Earl Sides. He's known me for a jillion years, I guess. But good to see Brother Earl. And two of my favorite missionaries in all the world. Mike and Becky Patterson. Man, these people are two of the top. They don't even know it, how great they are. And our church has supported them for many years and loved them and thanked God for them. And I've been down there a number of times, and seen the children's home, seen the work at. In fact, I was there when the church at Cuernavaca was planted. That was one of the greatest services I've been in. What a service. Good to have my grandson here. I had to have an amen corner. So, Wes, you and Riley, wave at me over here. My grandson and his wife, I'm so glad they could come. And then my dear friends, Lanny and Dee Dee Mora, right down here. And they are beloved friends that I pastored a long time and have been very close to. Well, a big task this morning, because I just wanted to preach to you about heaven today, because heaven has been on my mind. Do you wonder what heaven will be like? I've wondered more about it lately, because 3 months ago yesterday, the person, my best friend, my soulmate, the love of my life, drew her last breath and went to be with Jesus. And I have to tell you, my favorite subject now has been heaven. I thought more about it. Heaven's getting sweeter all the time, as the songwriter said. Well, first, a disclaimer. I won't do justice to this. Who can? Who can adequately describe what God has prepared for His people? Who could do it? I certainly can't. I don't have the vocabulary, or I'm not articulate enough. But I know this. I've preached about it through the years. We've sung songs about it. We did today. When we all get to heaven, we sang. Heaven sure. That's the first time I'd heard the song this morning, heard it in the early service. Again, beautiful song. Thank you. But I've thought a lot about it. And especially lately, it has been on my mind. Yesterday, I was at a Christian bookstore, picked up the book, A Case for Heaven by Lee Strobel, and began to read some of it last night. It spoke to me, and I want to tell you, folks, there's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. There is a place beyond this old woe-filled world, a place where God will dry the tears from our eyes, and we'll be in His presence. John chapter 14, very familiar. I know you know these verses, but this is the text I wanted to use today. Jesus said to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house," now underline that, "in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There's a place. It's beyond anything you can conceive or imagine that's waiting for God's people. The Lord said, I will prepare a place for you. Now, when you go on a trip, you get excited and thinking about what you're going to see. I had a bucket list as a young preacher. And it wasn't a long bucket list. But number one on that bucket list was I wanted to go see the land of Israel. That was on my bucket list. I wanted to one day walk where Jesus walked. I wanted to see those places where I read about in the Bible. And so I had a bucket list. And the church was so gracious on one of our anniversaries to give us a trip to Israel, me and Judy. Well, Judy had never been on a plane in her life. And she did not even like the thought of getting on a plane. And so when that anniversary, they surprised us. And let me say, stop to say, church, I was there 49 years, and the people of God were so good to me and Judy. And you've practiced that. Brother Raymond, Miss Helen, Brother Willie, Miss Carolyn, now Brother Tyler and his sweet wife. Take care of your pastor. Take care of your pastor. You'll never regret that. You'll never regret that. I mean, I'm standing here after 50-something years. I went to Levon Drive in 1964. And so I was there 49 years. And God's people were so good. They were so thoughtful and kind and helpful. And that helps the man of God as he leads the people of God. I promise you it does. So anyway, Judy said, I'm not going. I said, babe, you got to go. They're giving us a trip to Israel. You got to go. She said, I'm not going. I'm not getting on the plane. I'm not going to leave my babies. Of course, we had the little ones. They were little then. And so Dorothy Lyons was the pianist. Judy was the organist at our church. They were best friends. Dorothy got in her car, drove over to our house, sat down with Judy and said, now, Judy, you're going with the preacher to the Holy Land. She said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to get on that plane. She said, you got to go. And she just really gave her a message, and Judy reluctantly said yes, she'd go. And so, first plane trip in her life, she flies to New York and on to Tel Aviv, Israel. First time she'd been on a plane. And we had a wonderful trip. It was a great trip. It was something when we started in from Tel Aviv and we saw the lights of Jerusalem. And people on the bus began to sing, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's something about that city, I'm telling you. But there's another city that's even greater and better. That's the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. I want you to kind of see the lights. Kind of get a vision, a little bit of a vision this morning of what God has planned for you and prepared for you and me. A place called heaven. Now, the first thing I want to say is heaven is a real place. The Word of God is clear. There's a place called heaven. There is a place on God's map He has made, and it's called heaven. It's a real, actual place. Now, people have all kinds. Most religions have some kind of belief about a hereafter. Some of it is kind of weird, but, I mean, it's not biblical. The ancient Norsemen, with their love of battle, thought of Valhalla as a place where warriors went when they finished this life. The Romans depicted heaven as the Elysian Fields. That's kind of how they looked at the afterlife. The Muslims, as you know, because of terrorists and their dreams of hereafter, They envisioned it as a perfumed paradise where men lie on soft couches, drink cups of wine handed to them by exotic, beautiful maidens who exist solely to bring carnal pleasure to them. So it was all fleshly, carnal view of what heaven's like. The Eastern religions have what they call nirvana, which is some kind of mindless, passionless state of peace that people would eventually enjoy and eventually have. I want to give you some biblical things about heaven. Some you probably already know, I'm sure. But Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, Jesus talked about heaven. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. When he talked about laying up treasures, he said, don't lay up treasures here where moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure where? In heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven. He said, when you're persecuted, for my sake, rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Jesus talked about heaven. He talked about heaven. It is a real place that God's people are someday going to enjoy and have. The Apostle Paul had a firsthand view. You remember the story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but caught up into the third heaven. Now, where is that? Now, we have the atmospheric heavens of our earth. There is the celestial or stellar heavens that we look up and see the sun, moon, and stars and planets. Then there is the third heaven. That's the topmost place. That's where the throne of God is. That's where God is. That's where Jesus is. The third heaven. The third heaven. Paul said, I was caught up, saw things I can't even tell you about. He said, they're unutterable. They're unspeakable. They're indescribable of the beauty and the joy that I saw in that place. No wonder Paul said in Philippians, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Which is far better. Paul had a firsthand view. No wonder he could say, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I mean, it's better to be with the Lord up in heaven, but I'm all right dealing here as long as I need to be here. And you know, I find myself, honestly, longing more and more for that place called heaven. As I've said goodbye to those near and dear to me, I believe with all my soul, with every fiber of my being, they're with Jesus. I believe that. Because Paul said to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. So in a moment, just in a moment, they're with Jesus. I kind of think it's like Jesus told about Lazarus. You can almost hear the flutter of angels' wings as when they take our loved ones. And just in a moment, they see Jesus. I mean, they get to see him. They get to see him face to face, our Savior, our Lord. Now, there's some characteristics about that city, like there are of an earthly city. If you turn over to Revelation 21, we'll not spend time there today, but it talks about the dimensions of that city. It's large. It's a big city. Folks, don't think there's just going to be a few people in heaven. There's going to be a whole bunch of people in heaven. And every person that's trusted Jesus is going to be in heaven. Every person that's trusted Jesus, they're going to be in heaven. Heaven has, the Bible says, 12,000 furlongs. The measuring rod that they measured. And if you figure that up, as some Bible scholars have, it's about 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall. Most scholars believe it's like a cube, a perfect cube. And the Lord miraculously, mysteriously has it. When it comes down out of God, out of heaven at the millennial kingdom, it'll just hover over the capital of Jerusalem, and that'll be the new Jerusalem where the bride will live. We that belong to Christ, we'll live with him there. So it has definite details that are given. The gates, the 12 gates, the walls, the foundations, the river, crystal clear. That river that flows from the throne of God. Hey, don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. Interestingly, 86% in a recent poll of American people believe there's an afterlife. I guarantee you there is. If you're putting all your eggs in the basket of this life, that's pretty sad. This life is going to end. This life is going to have trouble. This life is going to be sometime wearisome. I'm glad I'm looking for that city. Abraham, he was looking for a city. Something beyond this. Beyond all the things that this world has to offer. But not only is it a real city, it's a real place, but heaven is so beautiful and joyful. How do you describe? How do you describe it? Words fail. Words absolutely fail when we talk about it. In fact, Paul said, speaking actually of spiritual verities, but it's a good application, he said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things the Lord hath prepared for those that love him." God has prepared a place. You can't disguise, not seen, ear hath not heard. Now, if you've seen beautiful sights in this world, and I'm sure you have at times, there are some beautiful places. Even with being marred by sin, there are some beautiful glimpses of God's glory in this creation. You look up in the stellar heavens. You see some beautiful waterfall. You see a sunrise. Or as Brother Earl, y'all didn't know what a romantic Brother Earl was, did you? He took Miss Nikki on a sunset flight. Now, he wasn't flying the plane, let me assure you of that. But he took her on a sunset flight the other night. See, he had the couples retreat, so he had to do something impressive. So on their date night, he takes a sunset flight and sees the sunset. And he said, boy, it was just beautiful. Beautiful because of the sunset. Beautiful because you had your bride with you. Amen. Oh, there's some beautiful sights in this world. Beautiful sights in this world. Just think about God's creative genius in creation. When you look at the beauty of this world, even marred by sin. No wonder the creation groans waiting for that day of redemption. Then think about heaven. Absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. There's a rainbow around the throne. The presence of all that is good is there. The absence of all that is bad. In fact, in Revelation 21, he sums it, he says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more. No more death. No more crying. No more pain. No more sorrow. For God is going to make all things new." Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. I can't wait. Can't wait. Oh, how joy and glory to be in the Lord's presence. Magnificent music. Now, we've been blessed this morning. Love the songs that we've had. In fact, Judy's favorite congregational song was "Because He Lives." Since she played the organ, we went through her little book, and she had that one with stars by it. It was her favorite congregation number, "Because He Lives." And we heard a song on heaven's shore. We sang songs. The choir sang. But I'm going to tell you, the music in heaven will blow your mind, actually. I mean, you just magnify any beautiful music you've heard in your life. Just magnify it about 1,000 times. The music in heaven. Hey, and guess what? I'm going to be able to sing up there. Yes, sir. Now here, sad to say, no music ability. And I told them in the early service, when I sing, heaven's flag is flown at half mast. The angels fold their wings. I'm not much of a singer. Judy had to put up with me singing in the shower because I love the songs. I just can't get them out very good on tune. Magnificent music. Oh, the music of heaven. I mean, it'd be worth going to heaven just to hear the music. Did you know that? I love good music. I love good Christian music. Don't you? It'd be worth going to heaven just to hear the music. Not only the music, the aroma of heaven. You ever think about the fragrance up there, how it smells? Oh, there is a smell in heaven, a fragrance in heaven like nothing this world's ever had. And you know why? Because Revelation tells us. The prayers of God's saints are going to perfume heaven. Do I understand that? No. Brother Mike, in some mystical, wonderful way, God takes the prayers of his people. And it's going to be the aroma up there in heaven. It's going to be a smell you're not going to want to miss. You're not going to want to miss. Judy was a good cook, besides a great pastor's wife, a wonderful mother and grandmother. And she could cook. She was really a good... Now, not when we started out. Oh, my soul. She had to learn to cook. But she did. And she became a great cook. And one of the things that she had fixed back there when the kids were smaller was homemade orange rolls from scratch. She had to get up about 3 in the morning to get it started, get going on it. And one Christmas, our kids were all upstairs. All of a sudden, they smelled that aroma. And one of our boys said, "Hey, that smells like orange rolls that Mimi makes." Yes, it was. Just the aroma in heaven is something out of this world. We talked about the music, talked about the aroma. Can't leave out food. I mean, we're Baptists, aren't we? They got to have food in heaven. They got to have a big old long table for us in heaven. God said there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you do at a supper? Huh? You eat. Hey, if you're like me and you like to eat, man, you hadn't had any kind of food like the food of heaven. I mean, it is absolutely the best. We'll talk about a restaurant and say, that's a 5-star. Hey, this is a 100-star. This food is out of this world. The food in heaven. When I was a little child growing up, I grew up, my grandfather was my pastor. But we always had one Sunday a year, a homecoming Sunday. A lot of sometimes the old members that had been there before would come back. But called dinner on the ground. Have you ever had one of those dinner on the ground? I never figured it out. It never was on the ground. It was on the tables. But they called it dinner on the ground. But now you talk about food. Oh, my soul. Makes my mouth water when I think of Ms. Lee's pecan pie even today after all these years. I mean food. And I was like that little kid that ate and ate and ate and ate, and I got to the place where I'd say, I can chew, but I can't swallow. I mean, I'm just too full. I can't even swallow anymore. I mean, homecoming. Just homecoming. Plenty of good food. Hey, folks, what I'm trying to tell you this morning, don't miss heaven. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Be sure. Be very sure that you know for sure that you're going to heaven. Because this life will get by fast. For me, it seemed like it's been just a blur. It's gone. But oh, the joy, the joyful activity in that place is unbelievable. I don't know why we get in our mind that heaven's a boring place. I don't know why we get that in our mind. We're going to be wearing some woolly robe and sitting on a fluffy cloud, plucking at a harp, and it's going to be boring, boring, boring. No, that's not heaven. Not heaven. Now, you talk about joyful activity. You know, we serve God here. We're going to serve Him up there. You're going to have more fun than you've ever had in your whole life, all put together. Just one day in heaven. It's going to be so exciting and glorious and joyous. Because, you know, joy is the business of heaven. When Jesus told about it, remember He told about the lost son coming home and what happens? There's joy in the presence of the angels. Now, it didn't say the angels were joyous. What does it say? It says joy in the presence of the angels. So who is joyous? Our God is, because our God loves us. He's filled with joy when He sees us returning to Him, coming to Him. And then we that are His people, we're going to be joyful. And we're going to rejoice and rejoice. I like this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, think of this. We'll never sin again. Just think about that for a minute. Just think about that. We'll never sin again. I'll never have to go to the Lord again and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for that thought, that deed, that attitude. Forgive me. I'll never have to do it again. Because I'll never sin again. Is that good or not? What a beautiful place. What a joyful place. What a wonderful place. But then lastly, let me mention that heaven's not only real, it's not only beautiful and joyful, but heaven is a place called home. It's home. Don't get your roots too deep here. This world's not your home, friend. If you know Jesus, you're not home yet. I think of those cases that I've known through the years. I've been with a number of people when they passed. There was a couple of them I was actually holding their hand when they passed. And I can remember one not too long ago where the man told his son, I wasn't there at this one, but he told his son, he said, son, his wife had passed. He had his health had failed, and he had been in an assisted living place, and he was in the hospital, and his condition was worsening. And he told his son, he said, I want to go home. He said, Dad, you can't go home. We sold the home place, and you know, we've got you in a special place. He said, I want to go home. He said, Dad, you're in the hospital. We can't even go back over to the place where you've been right now. We can't do it. He said, you don't understand, son. I want to go home. He said, I want to go home where Jesus is. And son understood. He said, he wants to go home. He wants to go home to heaven. It's the final home of the redeemed. We're not home yet. We're not home yet. All these years, you know, home for me, earthly, has been where Judy is, where she was. I mean, if I was off on a preaching trip or a mission trip, I couldn't wait, Brother Mike, to get back home. Because she was there. She was there. And so, for many years now, it's been 5205 Fairway Lakes Court, Garland. That's home. I mean, if I came in on a plane or somebody picked me up, got me, I couldn't wait to see her, to get home. But now she's with the Lord. And I go home, the house is empty. It's like it's not home anymore. Because she's not there. And that's the way, in a sense, it is about our soul. We're not going to feel really at home until we're where Jesus is. And where Jesus is, that's going to be home. That's going to be home. We're going We are going to see him. As Fanny Crosby wrote, "When my life's work is ended, oh, the soul-thrilling rapture, when I view the blessed face, his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye, how my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepared for me a mansion in the sky." How do you get there? How do you get there? Well, you get there only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only one way. Jesus said a few verses down in John 14, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The only way to heaven is through Jesus. The only way you're going to get there is through him. So the big question today is, are you going to heaven? 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 Can you say with assurance in your soul, if something happened to me today, if I came to the end of my journey today, if I took my last breath sometime today, am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to awaken in his presence? Am I going to be with him? I've listened over and over to that song, "If You Could See Me Now." I don't know if you've heard that before. It said, if you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and bold. If you could see me now, you would know I've seen his face. You'd know I've seen his face. Are you going to heaven? That's the big question. You can know. Would you bow your heads, please? It's a real place. It's a beautiful place. It's a joyful place. Oh, dear friend, don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. You may miss out on some things in this life, but don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. And the only way you can know and know for sure is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. So I wonder right now, right where you're sitting, you say, "Preacher, you mean I could do this right now, right where I'm sitting?" Yes. You see, the matter of salvation and the matter of knowing Jesus Christ is a heart matter. It goes down into your heart. And you right now can simply whisper a prayer in the privacy of your heart and mean it, and the Lord will come into your life. The Lord wants to be in your life. He wants to save you. He wants to make you a new person. He wants you to be part of that people, his people, that he's preparing a place for. And you can settle the matter right here today, right in this service. You can walk out of here today and later tonight pillow your head and knowing down in your soul that you're saved, that Jesus Christ is in your life, and that when you draw your last breath here, you're going to awaken with him. You're going to be in a beautiful place, a perfect place, a wonderful place, a joyous place, and you're going to be there forever. Oh, wow. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Now, if you've never really settled that matter in your heart, would you do it right now? Just do it right now. Get it settled. Maybe you want to pray a simple prayer kind of like this. Doesn't have to be these exact words. Maybe you just want to say, "Dear Lord, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I know, I believe that you died on that old rugged cross for my sins. And I believe if I trust you today that you will save me. You'll make me a new person. You'll forgive my sins. And someday when I die, I can know I'll go to heaven. Lord, I'm trusting you right now as my Savior." Now, if you prayed a prayer like that, something like that, and you meant it and you're not ashamed of it, would you just slip your hand up right now and say, "Yes, I did. God bless you. Thank you." Somebody else today, say, "Yes, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I asked the Lord in my life." Anybody else? Thank God for this one precious soul. Is there another? Somebody else here today say, yes, I need the Lord in my life. I need to trust Him as my Savior today. Somebody else, anywhere. Just whisper that prayer and mean it. Now whisper a prayer and thank Him for saving you. Whisper a second little prayer and just say, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for coming into my life today and saving me. Help me to serve you, Lord. Now, if you whispered that prayer, you asked the Lord to save you, and you thanked Him for saving you, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Oh, friend, you'll never regret making a decision for the Lord Jesus. And we're going to stand to sing in just a moment. We do. I'm going to ask you, if you trusted Christ today, to step out of your place, come to the front. Let one of us here, let some of the staff, the people that are altar workers, let somebody pray with you and give thanks for your decision. There may be some that need a church home. You'd like to say, I want to be part of this church family. You'd come put your life here. There may be some, and you're saved, you know you're saved, but you've got away from the Lord. Your heart's got cold. How about coming and just rededicating your life today? Begin to follow the Lord like you once did. Let God speak to you. Father, would you speak to hearts right now? Lord, would you touch the heart of that one that maybe is holding back? Lord, would you speak to that heart that needs to say yes to you today? Would you draw them to yourself, please? Speak to hearts right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.